Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So, you know, we went into the locker room at halftime, and we regrouped. We know we made some errors in the first half. We made some unforced errors. There were some turnovers. Offense couldn't get going. Defense was a little porous. But, you know, we've made the necessary adjustments here for the second half game plan. Or have we? It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. This program on this date has been the program most like an episode of the Three Stooges I've ever done in my life. David talked about the Three Stooges earlier today. I never got the Three Stooges. I never quite understood them. They always seemed awfully mean to me. But anyway, that's that. So we actually have Rich Davenport on with us on WBEN. Now, why are we talking about hunting and kids? I ask you. Why are we talking about hunting and kids? Well, there's a very simple reason for that. Because if you go to the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page, you will see an article from WBEN.com. And I'm going to read it to you because if you're driving, and most of you would be, I think you should know what we're talking about. Last week, the Erie County Legislature, 6-5, passed a local law that would allow 12 and 13-year-olds to hunt big game, such as deer, with a rifle or firearm under adult supervision. However, Mark Poloncarz has vetoed the law. Why? He wrote, "While the law acknowledges hunting as a valued tradition for many families, it remains silent on the inherent danger of expanding firearm access for our youth. The law would permit young hunters to hunt deer with rifle, shotguns, and muzzle-loaded firearms or crossbow. The expansion comes at a time when there have been many unfortunate firearm hunting accidents across the state and country, especially those involving youth hunters." And it's not going to be overridden in the Erie County Legislature. So what I want to do is talk to somebody who knows of what he speaks, because I talked about this at the beginning of the show. I'm not a hunter. I'm never going to be a hunter. I hire hitmen to get my meat for me. And if I had any brains, I'd be a vegetarian, I think. But I enjoy steak too much. So Rich Davenport is on the Big Game Committee, chairman, actually, for Erie County Federation of Sportsmen and New York State Conservation Council. Has your organization taken a position on whether 12 and 13-year-olds ought to be allowed to hunt?
Absolutely. And we do believe that ultimately it's a matter of choice for the parents, because the parents know the kids better than you or I. And right now, 12-year-olds are certainly out hunting waterfowl. They're out hunting small game with a shotgun, pheasant. They can even grab a centerfire rifle and hunt coyote at age 12 under supervision, even at night. So I don't know where the expansion is coming from. Right now in New York State, we have the highest of all 50 states minimum hunting age for firearms for big game. This doesn't even address big game, this particular law. This just is for deer. There were a few legislators from New York City that felt a 12-year-old was too small to go hunt a bear with a gun, even though they can hunt bear with a bow. But it is what it is. And it's empowering the parents and having a standardized age that is what we are looking to do.
Now, this was a county proposal. So am I to presume that outside of Erie County, in Chautauqua, Cattaraugus, Wyoming, Orleans, Niagara, and all the other counties in which we have listeners, that they've got different laws?
Well, I'll give you a little bit of long and short of this. In April, the state legislature passed overwhelmingly in bipartisan fashion Environmental Conservation Law 110935, which temporarily for 3 years, it sunsets at the end of December 2023, allows youths aged 12 and 13 to hunt deer with a firearm or a crossbow under supervision. So it lowers the age temporarily for deer to make it across the board equal with everything else. That's what happens. So the problem is that in the law, it had to have counties opt in, which is the first time I've ever seen a state law do that. The last time we lowered the hunting age, I think it was in 2011 or 2012, we took junior archers from age 14 to age 12, and junior hunters, which are working with the firearms, from age 16 to age 14, and there wasn't any county opt-in with that law. I mean, the state supremacy in game laws is really what it is. So this was kind of curious when it came out this way. But, you know, they, outside of the counties in New York City and Suffolk and Westchester, all other counties in New York were permitted to opt in. And, it's, you know, they have passed a local ordinance. It gets signed into law. It gets submitted to the Secretary of New York State. And it becomes codified in that, you know, county can participate. And I find it amazing that 57 counties in New York, you know, understand that the parents know best for their kids. But here in Erie County, we've got this amazing person named Mark Poehlenkars who knows better than any of the parents do. And he made sure to make that clear by denying their choice, including people that live and have property here. So now they got to take their kid to another county.
So if parents, just to be clear about this, if parents want to be able to take their 12 or 13-year-old out big game or deer hunting, it's totally acceptable for those people to go to any other county around us but Erie County.
That is correct.
Okay.
In fact, most of the counties passed their local law by the end of June. And, you know, most of them, you know, the six counties in Region 9, four of the six counties passed it before May, and the fifth one passed it in June, and the sixth one is Erie County. And despite the fact that we've got over 100,000 licensed sporting people in this county alone, apparently, you know, they don't exist. It's just the folk in the city. And I do find it also funny, you know, as Lurigo said, we had three different, you know, public hearings. One of them was the county executive public hearing. This law, by the way, to correct the record, was passed on the 9th of September. It wasn't passed last week. And 2 weeks ago was the public hearing for the county executive, which he has to do by law before he signs any law. He has to have, according to the county charter, a public hearing. And that was 2 weeks ago, actually. So it was also, I think, interesting to note that Mr. Poehlenkars did not attend his hearing. He sent the county attorney and his chief of staff, but he himself did not attend. How do I know? Because that was the third public hearing that I offered public testimony for.
We are talking with Rich Davenport, Big Game Committee Chairman, Erie County Federation of Sportsmen, and New York State Conservation Council. One of the things that struck me about the county executive's denial of 12 and 13-year-olds being allowed to hunt is this idea of expanding access to firearms for young people. I'm thinking to myself, well, if you are in a hunting household, those firearms have probably been around before you were born.
And they can already have access to them to hunt coyotes and grouse and ducks and rabbits and squirrels and everything else except for big game. In this case, actually deer, because of the downstate objection that kids are too small, you know, at that age to hunt bear with a gun, but they can hunt them with a bow. So I don't know how that increases access. What it does do is increase training, and it does increase responsibility. You know, the National Shooting Sports Foundation has exhaustive studies on when kids are taught proper firearm safety young, and one of the best ways to teach firearm safety is through hunting. They're 95%+ unlikely to be committing any kind of crime, let alone violent ones. So it's a good thing to even promote to keep people and kids out of trouble down the road.
Now, are there any national statistics that, I mean, Mark Poloncarz cited a bunch of anecdotal incidents. And I don't want to make this about Mark Poloncarz, but he cited a number of anecdotal incidents of young people being involved in hunting accidents. Is there any evidence that supports that young people are statistically more likely to be involved in hunting accidents than somebody who's been doing it for 30 years?
Quite the opposite. The state safety statistics and hunting-related shooting incidences that are released every single year, and I've got, I don't know, about 15 or 20 years' worth of data, including from last year as well, they're the safest hunters in the woods, by far and away. They are the safest hunters in the woods. They are conscious about unloading their firearm before climbing over a deadfall. They are conscious about making sure their finger is nowhere near the trigger before they're ready to shoot. You know, you get older folks that have, you know, maybe predated the hunter's education safety courses that we have now in its current form, which is by far and away the strongest in the nation, the most effective in the nation. You can see, you know, the results are quite the opposite of what Poloncarz actually portrayed. That was a bunch of made-up gibberish that was presented by the antis, and instead of him coming to a meeting to listen to the other side and get the actual data, he decided to duck out of it.
So, in other words, don't try to convince me my mind is already made up.
It was already made up, yeah. The way this whole thing was handled was kabuki theater, and, you know, it was slow walked. Especially when Cuomo decided to announce his gun violence emergency before he was, you know, taken care of and had to resign. Once that happened, you know, the folks in the Democrat Party, you know, would certainly fall in line with that. And the entire bill and the entire process was suddenly slow walked.
Well, Governor Cuomo should know a lot about dangerous guns. Cost him his job. Hey, if you are a fan of the show and want to buy some merchandise with a very respectable portion of any county, we have great coffee mugs, unbelievable soup mugs, blankies. We have beanie caps. I can't believe I'm saying that with a straight face. And water bottles for sale. Go to the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page, and you are helping to support the SPCA serving Erie County. All right? So they're very happy with their first check, and I want to keep those checks coming to the SPCA serving Erie County. They're quite taken with me. Now, we also posted, by popular demand, the interview I did with I did with State Senator George Borrello at 2:30 on this whole speed zone, work zone speed camera scam they're trying to run on us. So if you want to hear, probably, it was really good, and you should listen to it. It's also on the Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page. So Rich Davenport is with us, and one of the questions I have is, Rich, how old is old enough to hunt? I mean, we had a guy first hour literally said a 3 or a 4 year old ought to be allowed to hunt. Are you going there?
Well, I think I made it pretty clear that it's up to the parents to decide. In New York State, we have a state legislature that has decided age 12 is the minimum age. And like I said before, you know, that New York State was the last in the United States of all 50 to have such a high age for big game firearms hunting. So we've joined roughly a third of the states that, I believe it's about a third of the states, that have a minimum age for at least big game hunting set at age 12. There are some that set it lower, and there's a handful of states that do not have a minimum hunting age, again, with the idea of empowering the parents. Some of those states that don't have any kind of a minimum age, you know, has a more frequent instance or frequency of subsistence hunting. So the sooner that the young lad or lass can learn how to hunt, the better security the family will have in case dad gets hurt. The kid can go out and put some food on the table. But, you know, in New York, we've decided that age 12 is a suitable age to start allowing parents to make that choice. I don't see a problem with that, and the reports all show that there isn't a problem with that. So I don't know why empowering the parents. I mean, no one's forcing 12-year-olds to go hunt.
Right.
Even the parents that have those children, you know, that want to take them hunting, they're not forcing them to hunt. But it's an opportunity, and the earlier they get in on it, the more likely they're going to be to become a hunter and a conservation steward for life.
Hey, this might be a really stupid question, but it wouldn't be the first time in my life. How about the Amish?
The Amish have to get a hunting license and a fishing license just like everybody else.
All right.
They're bound by the laws. The only ones that do not have to, as far as I'm aware, would be the first natives, so the first peoples, you know, the first American, whatever the political correct is for Native
Americans. Native Americans. I think First Nations is a much better term. Canadians use that one.
So long as they're on their own nation land, they don't need to, you know, to get a license from New York State fishing or hunting. That's nation land, but that's because that's a different, treated as a different country, and that's really the affairs are going to be decided by the federal government and the tribes. New York State really doesn't have a say in any of that per the 10th Amendment and the framework of the Constitution.
Oh, the 10th Amendment still applies? Really?
Sometimes.
I thought we tore that one up when Biden offered, you know, the vaccine mandates and was going to steamroll the governors that stood up to defend states' rights as per the 10th Amendment, which says, hey, if the Constitution doesn't give it to the federal government, it's a state decision. I mean, a lot of judges don't know that. It's shocking to me. Not really.
Yeah.
All right, tell you what, Rich, we're gonna keep you on. If you have questions for Rich Davenport, Big Game Committee Chairman for the Erie County Federation of Sportsmen and New York State Conservation Council, on this whole Poland cars saying no to 12 and 13-year-olds being allowed to go, deer hunting, if I may simplify it, if you'll allow me that indiscretion. 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, we might have people listening out there who think this is a great thing that Mark Poland Cars is doing. We may have people out there who think that a kid has no business near a firearm for any reason whatsoever. I mean, don't be shy. Call in. We might have people with stories of, hey, my old man took me out hunting when I was 12 years old. When you're in the woods, nobody can see you. So if a shot gets fired, was it dad or was it the kid? I wouldn't, of course, support any law breaking, but, you know, it's been known to happen from time to time in very isolated circumstances. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And of all of the county executives' argument, I thought the weakest one, well, I think a lot of them are weak, but the whole thing about expands access to firearms for young people. Dude, if you grow up in a hunting family, when you were born, there were shotguns in the house. Come on.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, Pasquale, good choice. All right, it's Power Late News Radio 930 WBEN. If you have any question or comment for Rich Davenport on Mark Poloncarz saying no to 12 or 13-year-olds hunting deer, etc., this would be the time to call 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I just want to get back to the hunting situation, obviously, with you. And can you give us, I'm sure you've got these numbers before we let you go, but Rich, of how many hunters every year, how many, like what percentage of the hunters who get licenses who go out to hunt are actually injured in accidents?
That's probably an insignificant number as of today. Over the last 20 years, we've seen, you know, taking an average of about 500,000 licensed big game hunters across New York State. It's a little more than that. This year, it's about 560,000, 570,000. Last year during COVID, we had a big increase in people. Largest age group, by the way, was 14 and 15-year-olds, 23% rise, by the way. You have, on average, maybe two or three hunting-related shooting incidents that wind up in a fatality. Most of the accidents that happen are self-inflicted, you know, using a loaded shotgun as a walking stick, if you will, or not unloading the shotgun or even your crossbow and before hauling it up into a tree stand, things such as that, you know, that the gun smacks up against the tree and it goes off. There are reasons why we do certain things and teach firearm safety and safe hunting practices. And that has taken our hunting-related shooting incidences down from a peak in the late 70s, early 80s. I think there were like 50 or 60 a year fatalities, down to two or three. And, you know, on a bad year now, we see four or five. And most of those are self-inflicted. There'll be a couple of them. The most famous case in recent memory happened down in Chautauqua County, but it was a guy that shot well after hours, well after dark.
Horrible.
And, you know, so that was, I mean, not even a lawful hunting shot to begin with, but that still relates or still counts as a hunter-related shooting incident. But if you dig underneath the covers, you know, 560,000 divided, you know, divide that into, you know, three or four, and it's a really, 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 really tiny percentage.
Yeah, in other words, it's more dangerous to drive to work.
Yeah, more dangerous to be a cheerleader.
Yep.
More dangerous to go swimming, more dangerous to play soccer. You know, everything is pretty much more dangerous. So,
well, Rich, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your time. I apologize about the earlier time faux pas. That's totally on me. And I'm glad you were able to join us eventually. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And, you know, keep in touch. I'm certainly available to take any questions or handle any problems. If, you know, folks want to reach out, you know, you can get them in touch with me.
Always. Rich Davenport, Big Game Committee Chairman, Erie County Federation of Sportsmen, and New York State Conservation Council, joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, what's coming up on the show? Can he remember? Yeah. Coming up starting at 5, we'll have Dr. Jane Orient, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and she's going to be here to answer all of your questions about COVID. We had Dr. James Harith on earlier. Dr. Orient, her answers may very well differ from Dr. Harith's, but we'll basically open up the phone lines and let you ask questions of Dr. Orient, if that's fair enough. Now, at this point in the show, I've got myself a few minutes, so I want to pick up on something that we got into yesterday, because it's something that I realized, hey, a lot of my friends are talking about this. So if a lot of my friends are talking about this, probably people who listen to the radio are talking about this. And we started talking with Pasquale Maggiore about it yesterday. How many of you have seen The Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos prequel movie? Do you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Do I go? Should people go or should they not go? And it's interesting because on Facebook, people either really love it or they really hate it. There is no in between. And I wonder how much of the people who really love it are people who are just going into Sopranos withdrawal. And one of the interesting things about The Sopranos is even though it's a show that was on 15 years ago, actually longer when it started, it has a whole new group of fans. During the pandemic, it was one of the most streamed television events on the streaming services. People love The Sopranos. It is an eternal show. And, you know, a lot of us were a little bit confused by the fade to black ending, which was, by the way, Tony Soprano getting whacked. David Chase left that out in an interview when he talked about the Tony death scene. Oops, made a mistake. So, yeah, he did die in that. And if you actually analyze the final episode of The Sopranos, Made in America, all of the clues are there. I've seen this laid out on the internet, on documentary. The documentaries about The Sopranos. All of the clues are there. And he absolutely, positively got killed in front of his family, just like Phil got killed in front of his wife and his two baby grandchildren. Remember, bye-bye, Papa, bye-bye, boom. And that's what happens when you mention Plavix. It's a weird thing. So anyway, Pasquale thought that was funny. If you have seen The Many Saints of Newark, please give us a review. I need your calls on this. I need to know. I haven't been to a movie in years because the way I get my home entertainment now is basically Netflix and Amazon. And I'm not going to sign up for a cable service that I'm just going to watch something on it once and then I'm never going to watch it again. So 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I want your review of The Many Saints of Newark. We started talking about this yesterday. We had a bunch of people calling in who wanted to chime in. Have you seen it? Was it any good? Have you recommended it to friends? Have you told friends, oh, you got to see this movie. It's fabulous. You're a Sopranos fan? You got to check out this movie. Or have you said, you're a Sopranos fan? Yeah, you know what? Just remember the cut to black and the wonderful times James Gandolfini gave us. Don't waste your time. One of the things that's aggravating to people is the voice of Christopher Moltisanti, Michael Imperioli from Beyond the Grave. All right, people don't seem to like that very much. All right. 803-0930 is the phone number to go to The Many Saints of Newark or to not go to The Many Saints of Newark. I have to tell you that most of the reviews I have read online have been very negative about The Many Saints of Newark. Pasquale Maggiore has seen The Many Saints of Newark. He liked it. All right, he gave it a thumbs up. Now, he did not like The Irishman because, as he said, he thought De Niro and Al Pacino were parodies of themselves in The Irishman. And yesterday, I also mentioned a movie that periodically is on Netflix. It's with Christopher Walken and a fellow whose name I do not recall because I'm clearly going senile. And it's the story of Danny Green. It's called Kill the Irishman, not to be confused with The Irishman with Pesci and De Niro and Al Pacino. So The Many Saints of Newark, thumbs up, thumbs down. I love The Sopranos. I can probably quote chapter and verse every episode of The Sopranos if I really have to, but that wouldn't be a lot of fun for you. it would be fun for me just to prove that my memory still works. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. All right, this is going to be fun. Here's Joe in Lockport. Joe, it sucked, huh?
Oh, man, I wanted to love it. But, you know, I really think the prequel should have been where this actually left off. They should have started there, but I was so disappointed. The only good character was Silvio. That's it.
See, okay, here now everybody's got their own subjective opinions. What I've read online is that the Silvio character was a joke.
Oh, man.
Not to be taken seriously.
If you contrast it with the rest of, you know, the earlier, like, can I say Big P? I don't know. I mean, Big Pussy, Polly Walnuts, like, Silvio was, he captured all his idiosyncrasies. Yeah, maybe a little cartoonish, but it showed him, like, in the beginning he was losing his hair, and then towards the end he's got a wig on, so it sort of, like, it builds that character and stuff, but I thought he was good. I felt bad because Michael Gandolfini, they shouldn't have built a movie around that guy. He wasn't ready. I feel bad. I wanted to like him, but it was just all so forced. Christopher's dad, who's like kind of the main character,
Dickie, yes,
great. He was great, but the problem was that it just didn't give me my Sopranos fix, except for Christopher talking, and then they had the theme song at the end and the credits, but it just felt so flat. I hate saying it, but it sucked, man.
Okay. I thank you very much. You either love Many Saints of Newark or you hate Many Saints of Newark. This guy basically says, well, it sucked. That's a pretty clear review of a movie. Let's go to Frank in Hamburg. I think you either love it or you hate it. It's almost like the Deadwood movie. Like, I liked the Deadwood movie because it gave me some closure, but it wasn't nearly as good as the series. Let's go to Frank in Hamburg. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Sir.
It was good. I liked it. It was a gangster movie.
Okay, it was a gangster movie, but, I mean, it's not supposed to be just a gangster movie. It is supposed to set the stage for what was an epic TV show in American cultural iconography. Did it do that?
Well, if it's going to set the stage, then they have to make a series out of it then.
Well, I mean, the whole point was to show how Tony Soprano got wrapped up in mob life. Did it do that? Did it do that for you?
Not yet. That's the point. He was still young, so it's just a matter of time if they do it again. If they don't, it was just another mob movie.
All right, so you're making a very interesting point, okay? As a mob movie, you're saying that it stands alone as a good mob movie, but as a mob movie serving as a prequel to The Sopranos, I get the sense that you weren't terribly impressed. Are you well-versed with The Sopranos?
Oh, very well-versed.
Excellent.
I bought it, too. We watched it all the time. It just wasn't coming off a spinoff from The Sopranos to me.
By the way, the producers have just reached out to me with an email. Tell Frank that we say to him what Junior Soprano said when he fell and broke his hip in the shower. Thanks for your call, man. All right. The Many Saints of Newark, The Sopranos prequel. Look, you either love it or you hate it, and I want to know where you are. I have not seen it. I love The Sopranos. I also love Deadwood. I've said a million times, everything you need to know in life, you can learn from watching The Sopranos and watching Deadwood, and I might add, watching The Godfather series, including number 3, which has grown on me. The opera was way too long. Way too long. They could have edited that, but it was a necessary closure, and I've watched it a few times, and it's not as bad as I first thought. My favorite scene is Zaza. Best scene ever in that movie. Remember, it's Fall Fest in Ellicottville this weekend, so if you're going to drive to Ellicottville to see the foliage and you think you're going to make it in 45 minutes from Buffalo, you're not. it gets backed up. And some people try sneaking down 16 as opposed to the 219 and then cutting over. There ain't no good way. I mean, they're really just you're going to have to be patient, all right? I know guys in bands have almost missed gigs because of the traffic. Let's get to the calls. The Many Saints of Newark, The Sopranos prequel, yes or no? Danny in Niagara. Danny, you're on WBEN.
Tom, I've never called a radio station in my life, but that movie sucked. I'm the hugest Sopranos fan. My wife is actually a Sopranos fan, and I'll tell you, we look so forward to watching this movie, and it was a dud. That's all I can tell you.
It was a dud?
It was, you know, the only, so if you're a Sopranos fan, and I know you are.
Amen.
The only thing that I felt that was good about the movie or the storyline was during the Sopranos, you would always think to yourself, why would Tony not have got rid of his nephew a lot sooner than he actually did? But I think the storyline gives you a little bit more background of why he was a little bit more soft when it came to his nephew, Christopher. So, but as far as the movie.
So, okay, time out. Do you think that in the series, Tony should have taken care of Christopher at that meeting where they confronted him with his drug addiction? And Christopher said, the way you eat, you're going to die of a heart attack at 50, and actually he was 51?
Yeah, I thought Tony was going to waste him a lot sooner than he actually did. But
well, the drugs in the back seat with the child seat, you know, Tony Soprano loved children. He loved animals, which, by the way, is a common characteristic of psychopaths. You know, they got to like something. And I'm not saying that people who like animals and children are all psychopaths, but a lot of times they use that to cover up their inhumanity toward other men.
Right.
So, yes, if you have a cat, you're a psychopath. I've just said that. I did not. All right, so it was a total and complete dud.
Well, Tom, I wouldn't spend any money on it. I actually streamed it, and but I would have. I would have went to the theater to see it, but no, I would never recommend it to anybody. I would, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, and I want your okay. Forget about what I think. I want to know what you thought of the opening scenes where the voice of Christopher Moltisanti comes out to be the narrator of the movie. Good move or bad move?
I didn't think it was bad until it just didn't make any sense at one point, right? Because it just, you know, you thought that it was just gonna go a little bit deeper into Christopher Moltisanti and just to, you know, maybe explain a little bit more about the upcoming, but put it this way, it's supposed to be a prequel, right? If I would have watched that movie before The Sopranos came on as a series, I would have never even been interested in watching The Sopranos.
But oh, sorry, spoken in true Sopranos style. Oh, okay. Now I have one question, and I don't want this to be a spoiler, but in the movie, do we find out whether the cop actually killed Dickie Moltisanti?
You find out who killed him. Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay. All right, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody because that's been one of my lingering questions. Did Tony set up Christopher to kill the wrong guy for whatever reason because he only had $20 in his wallet, if you will remember, that Christopher put on his mother's refrigerator? And I always thought, and don't tell me if I'm wrong, I always thought that Tony wanted to get rid of a low-level debt burden to set an example for the higher-level debt burden people, and I was never convinced that the cop shot Dickie Moltisanti. Don't tell me if he did. Now, if you want to send me an email, I might be tempted to read it. Thank you very much, Danny. I appreciate it. All right, we'll get more into this in days to come as more people watch it. But if you go to my Facebook page, Bowerly on WBEN, you're going to find, last I checked, people either love The Many Saints of Newark or they hate The Many Saints of Newark. There seems to be no middle ground. And do not underestimate the enduring power of The Sopranos. A whole new generation is now Sopranos fluent. And we all know what Junior said when he fell in the shower and broke his hip. Every time I see that, I don't know why, but I laugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.